Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hey, Joe, when did this show start? It's APD, you should know this.
2 hours and 4 minutes.
Starts at 3, right?
Yep.
Was that now?
Nope.
Did the show start now?
Nope.
713-780-3776. Your week six hot takes. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Julian, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Julian?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You already know I'm going to talk about the Niners. So
bang, bang,
I
bang,
do
gang.
Think they have old bang bang Niner game, baby. They do have old superstars, star/superstar players, yes. But the defense is probably the second youngest in the league. They were kind of forced to do that infusion due to everybody we lost. D. Winters, he has his moments where he's lost, but the kid is just flying everywhere. Now, offense, for the life of me, brother, we cannot draft a wide receiver that's worth anything. Pearsall looks like he could be legit if he could stay on the field or not be shot.
Yep.
But, you know, our offensive line needs some help as well. That's all I got, man. Y'all have a good one.
You can't hold it against them that he got shot, Julian.
Bang, bang, Niner game. I like Pearsall.
I do,
too. I'm a fan of Pearsall.
I'd like him to play this year. It's not his fault he got shot.
No, I'm a fan of his game. I'm a fan of it. Hopefully it was an isolated incident.
Yeah, hopefully
it only happened that one time with Ricky Pearsall. But good insight there on the Niners, Julian. I like Shanahan. I like Saleh. I wonder if Saleh will get another chance at some point because he had the Jets playing pretty well considering now what the Jets look like.
Yep.
Probably should have kept Aaron Rodgers. Like, Saleh had the Jets playing okay. Like, wasn't he fired after a 2-3 start? Like, mm-hmm. You would take 2-3 now? Like, he might not have been the problem.
I think the way the Jets are playing right now is a really strong argument for Saleh getting another job. I would give him another shot. Honestly, anyone that goes to the Jets, I would probably give another chance. Like, this won't be Aaron Glenn's only chance to be a head coach. It won't last.
I don't know, man. If they go 0-17, not that they will, but what if they go 2-15? He gets sacked.
I don't think he'll get another chance right away. It'll take a longer time for him to get another chance because Saleh, you can make an argument for this offseason.
I think it's harder for defensive coaches to get.
And this would be
a second chance. Well, not that that's
well, this
right,
would be his
but
third
I just
chance,
think that.
Right? No. I'm thinking of the Vikings defense. I'm thinking of Brian Flores.
Flores only had the Dolphins job.
Yeah, but because like Flores would make a lot of sense for teams this offseason. I mean, Saleh like might make sense in Miami because they seem to need an attitude adjustment. They got some problems.
Yeah, that would be interesting. See, I think we overrate play calling and underrate leadership. Like, you look at Mike McDaniel. Like, I think Mike McDaniel's a great play caller. I think he's a really good OC. Is he a good leader? Absolutely not.
Yeah, he's not.
Then you like Todd Bowles. Like, Todd Bowles is a good defensive play caller. I don't want to sell him short. But he's a way better, like, leader and build culture kind of guy. Like, Campbell in Detroit. He didn't even call plays. Like, we undervalue leadership, and we overvalue X's and O's for a head coach specifically.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like I would give Saleh another shot, especially, again, based on the way that the Jets are playing right now. They look awful. And whoever in that front office decided that Justin Fields was the answer probably deserves to get fired because I could have told you that this was kind of how it was going to play out. But Saleh, he had the Jets playing much, much better. Consistently. Think about it. He was winning games or in games with Zach Wilson as his quarterback. And then he gets Aaron Rodgers, who tears his Achilles 4 plays into his Jets career, doesn't look good the following year. They have major issues. I don't know, Aaron Rodgers' issues, shocker. I think Robert Saleh absolutely deserves another shot in the NFL. And if I was the Bengals or the Browns or one of these teams that could have an opening, I would highly consider him, honestly.
See, I know the Bengals and Browns are having bad years. I wouldn't fire either head coach. Like, I'm not sure that you can do a whole lot better than Zach Taylor. I'm not sure you can do better than Kevin Stefanski. Like, we get caught up in the win-loss record, and a lot of times we ignore the context of the win-loss record, and we fire these really good head coaches. Like, Zach Taylor went to a Super Bowl. Like, he's in the game yesterday with Joe Flacco against the Packers. Kevin Stefanski is a former NFL Coach of the Year. Like, I think we get too quick to fire these guys because of a down year where they've had tons of injuries or the GM has built a bad roster behind them. Like, I wouldn't
totally
be quick to fire guys after a bad win-loss season if I truly believe in them, if I believe they can, like, bounce back.
It's just the hard part is that someone's going to be blamed eventually, right? So if the GM gets blamed, like they likely will in Cincinnati, I would imagine, at some point, and you fire the GM, the new GM's eventually going to want his own guy. Like he's going to want to bring in his own head coach unless you let your current head coach have a say in who the GM's going to be. So that's why I feel like the turnover eventually happens. And I'm also always pro clean house. I just think it's better typically to lose your GM and your head coach and to bring in a regime that's going to be working together, chooses each other versus that offsetting relationship. But because I'm with you on Stefanski specifically. Stefanski, what he gets out of Cleveland with the quarterback play that he's had, as competitive as they are at times, with all the disasters that they've been, they're not going to find a better coach than Kevin Stefanski. He's going to get picked up right away.
If Kevin he would be a head coach for sure. If Stefanski didn't get picked up as a head coach, I would hope that the Texans moved heaven and earth to sign him as their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a good offensive mind. He just has a terrible team around him right now. Eric the Buyer, Saleh in Tennessee, I think that would make perfect sense. I think that'd be great for Tennessee. I wouldn't want Saleh in Tennessee selfishly from a Houston Texans perspective, because I do think Saleh's good. How do we still not know anything about Mixon? It is amazing how both sides are as tight-lipped as they've been. Casario, his side, and then Mixon and his side.
The longer this goes, the more I'm just convinced that something weird happened. This is not a normal injury. I think just the fact that you're right, nothing has been said, it doesn't make any sense. And the way that they're
protecting him. We'll find out eventually.
Yeah, we will, probably when he's not on the Texans.
Yeah, probably, or when he comes back, whenever he comes back, which probably isn't going to be with the Texans, so you're probably right. We'll find out eventually, but it's bizarre. It's weird. I bet you it was something weird.
There's no way he just, like, tore his ACL working out. Like, why would you hide that? What's the big deal?
It wouldn't be ACL, though. Like, we know that it's not ACL based on, like, just pictures of him.
Yeah, and based on timeline. I mean? Like, they wouldn't have put him on the 4-week IR, you know, if it was an ACL, he would have been out for the season. So what could it be? What happened? Like, did he drop a weight on his foot? I don't know. It just feels like whatever it is, it's a strange injury that we have no idea, you know, what it is, and I'm at this point not sure it happened anything football related.
Probably not. I mean, he's on the non-football injury list, which basically means it happened away from the team, but.
Yeah.
That could be an indicator. Like, I mean, we had the junkie text in say that he was on a motorcycle and like he dragged it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, we don't spread rumors. We wouldn't spread rumors like that. Junkie said that, not us. Key from LA, easy Joe. Puka is fine. I mean, he's not going to play in the international game more than likely.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be out long term, but it's not when you lose the best wide receiver in the NFL potentially or one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL. It's not good for your team. I'm not panicking. But
no.
It's not good.
Eberflus defense couldn't stop a mild case of diarrhea. That's gross. We're not going to read that. Pete said Cleveland fired Belichick before Art Modell moved the franchise to Baltimore, and look at what he did with New England. That's the thing. Don't if you and what you were saying earlier about like GM head coach, I do like the tandem. I think it should be, you know, a pair. I don't like firing one, then, you know, filling that gap and then you force feed a relationship. I'm with you there. But I would be more of the mindset. It's not so much the win-loss record. It's my belief in the tandem. Like, if I believe that tandem is better than anything else I can replace it with, I'm keeping them. Now, the moment there's a tandem out there that's better than the tandem that I have, I'm going to replace them. So, to me, it's case by case. I think that coaches get fired way too soon. Good ones get fired way too soon because people get caught up in the record with an injury depleted roster. You know, like it's foolish a lot of times to me, at least.
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of these coaches who get fired early don't get second chances, which is what's strange about it. Like, you would think that people would also recognize that in the league, of like, this guy was in a bad circumstance. Why is he not getting another chance? Like, Saleh fits that as what we were talking about earlier. He was with the Jets. Like, he's not Eric Mangini, who was a disaster with the Jets, and everyone kind of knew what was happening. Same thing with Brian Flores. I know there's a lawsuit, but why is he not getting a second chance when Miami has been a dumpster fire for years? And yeah. Mike McDaniel got it better for a little bit, but not for much. So
no, he didn't sustain it.
I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, good coaches typically, they also just last. Like the really good coaches, they last for a long time. So these other guys seem to be interchangeable. But to your point earlier, too, the defensive guys don't typically get that second chance because it's harder.
Usually a little bit less.
Yeah, because there's just, I mean, most people think you can only win with an offensive coach. And I know the Super Bowls mm-hmm. kind of track that way, but I think Andy Reid kind of blinds us to that. But
probably.
It is what it is.
We jinxed Puka. Rams beat the Ravens 17-3, but we jinxed them because we were talking about the 2,000-yard thing. I mean, that's dead now.
We?
There's no way. If he misses a game and a half, he can't get to 2,000.
I mean, it was your question.
I jinxed him. Branham foot and mouth. I mean, Branham foot and mouth's a thing. It's absolutely a thing.
Abuka?
Packers beat the Bengals.
We might jinx the Abuka, too.
What, with the hamstring?
Yeah, with the hamstring, because he's going to be out for a little bit, too.
Yeah, hopefully he avoids the IR selfishly because I like Ibuka. I have a lot of Ibuka. I watched the Packers-Bengals game next to a Packers fan yesterday.
Okay.
Which, yeah, he was he was complaining about every single call. It's kind of obnoxious. Like, it was like a clear pass interference. Like, that's not pass interference. You're allowed to do that. It's just, it was like one of those fans. But I thought that was a game that was more competitive than it should have been.
Well, see, the Packers, I think at this point, 3-1-1, haven't been that impressive since the first two games of the season. Their last three games, they lost to the Browns. They tied to the Cowboys, a game which they had control early, and then they, with you, like this Bengals game, it's Joe Flacco, who I know they lost to earlier this year, but the Bengals are beat up, and Joe Flacco got them back into this game. That catch, though, from Ja'Marr Chase and the corner there was incredible that he had for the touchdown.
Yeah, it was.
But I'm unimpressed.
He's so good.
I'm unimpressed with the Packers so far.
Flacco's pretty entertaining. Like, he just goes out there and, like, slings it around. Like, yeah. Nothing to lose. Like, he's got FU money. Like, he's just going to go out there and, like, you know, sit in the pocket and, you know, heave it around 50 times.
Yeah, but he also
it's
moves,
kind of fun.
But he also moves like a statue. Like, it's this really weird dynamic where he's just out there just kind of – he doesn't care. He's just throwing it around. Probably doesn't even know the offense that well, I'd imagine, being there for less than a week.
Yeah. But, he was wearing that quarterback wrist, and he says he never wears it. He was there for 4 days. It's hilarious, though.
Yeah, but that game was, I don't know. The Bengals are an interesting one. I'm curious. This game on Thursday against the Steelers, I'm intrigued by. Because the Steelers are playing good. Like, Aaron Rodgers has that offense playing really well.
He's not bad. DK, I saw that they were in the market for a receiver, which their second, like, I think Scotty Miller played the second most snaps at the wide receiver position of any other Pittsburgh Steeler yesterday. Like, they could use some help at the wide receiver spot. They have DK Metcalf and then, like, a bunch of Joe Georges running around next to DK Metcalf. It's crazy how, you know, how bad the situation is after DK, but yet here they are, 4-1. I think we made a mistake, though, last week. Because remember last week the Ravens were still the betting favorite to win the AFC North?
Yeah.
Why didn't we jump on the Steelers to win the division? Because who did the Steelers play? They played the Browns, who were terrible. Who did the Ravens play? They played the Rams, and we didn't think that the Ravens had any chance to win that game. We surrendered value here because we were foolish and didn't pay attention. Because now the Steelers are favored to win the division, minus 175. The Ravens are plus 155. After two outcomes that we were pretty certain were going to happen, mm-hmm. we made a mistake last week. We surrendered value because of our foolishness.
Yeah, I agree. I think we missed the boat on that one big time because I said the Steelers were still going to win the division. So I was pro Steelers in that argument and didn't make the wager myself. I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
I
was looking through the score. I mean, are you though? I mean, they now have they're 4-1. Ravens are 1-5. They have a 3.5 game lead.
Well, I mean, that's why, like, I didn't think it should have been like that last week. Because, like, it's not like Lamar
surrender value. We made a mistake.
Cause it's not like Lamar was playing last week. And I know they said he'll be back after the bye. We'll have two games in, 5 days or whatever it is? But, which even then, I still think that's a mistake. Unless his injury is really not that bad.
What's a mistake?
Playing him in two games that close together?
Nah.
But they're kind of desperate.
I mean, I guess
we
don't know the health. Yeah. If he's 100%, then it's okay. Like, I think that was the point. Like, hey, we're going to rest you the next 3 weeks, and then, okay, all systems go, you know?
But
I think that was the plan the whole
way. Even as we're saying this, like, they'll probably win their next 5 games, the Ravens.
Yeah, right. But that's why you should have made Ravens to win the division last week.
So should
this week.
So we should bet on Ravens now at plus 180.
If you believe they're going to win the division.
I mean,
like, now's the week to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing the Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, and then the Bengals. Like,
they still have two against the Steelers, too. Yeah, you know? Like, so, like, it's not like the Steelers have the tiebreaker currently. Like, they still have two against the Steelers. But it's only plus 155. Like, yeah, it's not great odds. They're 3.5 down, and it's plus 155.
Yeah, I think the only, like, two, like, games that are against good teams that they play the rest of the year are the two games versus the Steelers. They play the Patriots and the Packers. Like, their schedule's easy the rest of the year. They played all their tough games already this season.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to go on a run. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Henry,
do you think Ravens
good.
Win the division?
No, I can't. I can't. They're too far back now.
Yeah, 3.5's a lot to overcome. Yeah. But, I mean, you win the two games, you sweep them, it's 1.5 with a softer schedule.
Yeah, but I think
– I don't know.
I've been impressed with Aaron Rodgers. I think he's playing really good football this year. So, I'm kind of leaning towards Pittsburgh just wins that thing outright.
Okay. All right, 713-780-3776. So, James Franklin got fired. 3 weeks ago, he was, what, the number three team in the country? Last year, he was literally in the Final Four. He was 120 minutes away from winning a national championship last year. He got sacked yesterday. $49 million buyout, the second largest buyout in college football history. Pretty big fall from grace, I think. It's safe to say. James Franklin, fall from grace. Is it the biggest fall from grace, though, in sports history? What comes to mind for you? What is the biggest fall from grace you remember in the history of sport? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Maybe your vehicle's had a massive fall from grace and you need to buy a new vehicle. Well, the place to do that's Monument Chevrolet. Why are they the place to do it? Because it's the dealership you can trust. No one likes the car buying experience unless you go to Monument Chevrolet. Then it's a delight. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. It's great. It's fantastic. That's why Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years, five decades in the car industry, and they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles. And then these families just keep coming back and coming back because they trust the people in Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet has that family feel. They got a friendly atmosphere. It's palpable the moment you step foot on their lot. You walk into their showroom. They hire great people, which leads to the fantastic culture that they have. And what does Monument Chevrolet have going on right now? Well, they've extended truck month. Isn't that great? 2.9% APR for 72 months. Talk about low interest rates. Go check them out. Beltway 8, 225, monumentchevrolet.com. But how about that? Truck month, 2.9% APR for 72 months. That's really good. Or maybe you want to check out the vehicle of the week, the EV vehicles. Right now, Monument Chevrolet offering amazing discounts on the Chevy EVs, the EV Blade. Laser, speed and sporty styling sways, the EV Equinox with its spacious interior, clean, modern design, long-range capability, which is massive, that's important, and both come with a loaded tech-focused interior. Maybe that's up your lane at Monument Chevrolet. But get a fair deal, a transparent deal, and a no-hassle deal at Monument Chevrolet without wasting your time in those aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Monument Chevrolet is the place to go. Visit them online. Check out the full inventory, monumentchevrolet.com. Go check them out in person. They'd love to see you. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe, I'm Jeremy. AJ in for Brian today. Playing some Bakers. Cougar fans, it's time to pack TDCU Stadium. Saturday, October 18th, Houston takes on Arizona. Homecoming. Don't miss the pageantry, the pride, the roar of Cougar Nation. Kickoff at 11. This is Houston's team. Need you to create a true home foot advantage. Come early, be loud, wear red. Houston 5-1. Already outdid their win total from a year ago. Those Fritz year twos, man. Pretty special. Head to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. But we are giving away a pair right now. First person to call in and answer this question. Which Cougar was awarded Big 12 honors today? Which Cougar was awarded Big 12 honors today for his performance against Oklahoma State? 713-780-3776. First person to call in with the correct answer. Pair of tickets going to you. I'll see you out there Saturday. But uhcougars.com/tickets, 713-GO-COUGS to get your ticket today. Going to be a lot of fun. Weather's going to be great. 5-1 Houston looking for a little revenge after Arizona beat them last year. All right, biggest fall from grace in sports history, Joe. James Franklin, pretty big fall from grace.
Yep.
Was two games away from winning a natty last year. He was top five 3 weeks ago. Fired yesterday. $49 million buyout, though. He's laughing at, I'm a fall from grace? Ha-ha. I just got paid $49 million. But what comes to mind in the sports world for you, biggest fall from grace?
Okay, are we talking strictly because of sports here?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, then Tiger Woods.
I didn't take it that way.
Tiger Woods is number
okay.
one. Okay. I mean,
Tiger Woods announcing this weekend that he had another back surgery.
I know, he's done. But, like, to be where he was, and then, you know, the golf club through the window, the surgeries being done for years at that point. I know he came back in 19 and won the Masters, right? But to be where Tiger was to where he went, it was the first thing that came to mind for me.
Yeah, see, I think it's a great answer. He would be on my short list, too. I think we were cheated as sports fans, Tiger chasing Jack's record for majors. Because if he didn't have the injuries, he's there. I mean, he would be fighting for it. He would have been in the mix. Not sure he would have passed it, but certainly would have given it a better shot, right? Would have given it a better effort. And that would have been great theater as sports fans. I think we overrate the iron to the car or to the face or to the ribs or whatever. I think it was more the surgeries that brought Tiger down. Do we really think that Ellen taking an 8-iron to his car is why Tiger Woods became bad at golf?
No, but it's
or
not.
At least didn't win at the highest rate.
No, but that's when we found out about Perkins, the waitresses, and all that stuff. It all kind of happened in one offseason of golf. Where it's everything.
I think it was more the injuries than the you know, drama.
Yeah, but the golfer fell from grace because of the injuries, but also the person. This is a man who stepped out on his marriage, for no offense, waitresses, and then also had all these injuries, and his golf career was also over at the same time. So to me,
he got back to being the world number one.
Yes.
He got back to being a really good golfer once he recovered from the injuries. I believe if he didn't have the injuries but still had the off-the-course drama, I don't think we would have seen a slip in his play.
I totally agree with you. It's just it all happened at once, so it's like it's all bad with Tiger around that same era.
I saw some – I think it was Golf Digest that did this, but they like have – they have a picture of Tiger Woods, and then they have like the year, and then it points to the part of body that he had surgery on. This dude's had like 30 surgeries. It's incredible.
I mean, the
and severe ones too, like fixed the Achilles multiple times. He's had the fusion, the L5 into the L6, like the amount of surgeries he's had, and then the severity of those surgeries. I'm surprised this dude can still walk.
I know that's
the
why.
Wreck. I forgot about the wreck. He almost died in the wreck.
Yeah, and that's why. I mean, we'll never see him play golf again, unfortunately. Like maybe some events.
I disagree.
Like good golf, or do you think it'll be like out there
no,
with like a fun thing with Charlie, his son?
No,
that we see.
I think he could play in the. I think he could still play in the Champions Tour.
Do you think he will?
I think
though?
He should. No.
Yeah,
I think he might. Just as like, hey, I'm a competitor, and I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to win again, like that sort of thing. I could see it.
Yeah, he just doesn't scream like Champions Tour golfer, but maybe he will. That would surprise me, honestly, if we saw him go and do that.
Maybe he just needs to be the permanent Ryder Cup captain.
I mean, he'd be better than the last guy. Neutral
just
party.
Go out there and be the Ryder Cup captain for every until you die. You're the U.S. Ryder Cup captain forever. If you want to captain's pick Charlie out of nepotism, that's fine. LeBron did it with Bronny. He's going to do it with Bryce. That's okay.
Yeah, but Charlie looks like he's good at his sport.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I don't know.
We'll
much.
See.
I don't know much about him.
You don't know a whole lot about junior golf, Joe? Is that
no.
something you really dive into, junior
can't,
golf?
Can't say I
we'll
do.
See. We'll see. Mike Tyson for me. I mean, Mike Tyson went from the baddest man on the planet, heavyweight champion, to losing to Buster Douglas as a 30-1 favorite in the middle of the night in Japan, and then gets thrown into prison for 3 years, and is never, ever the same Mike Tyson again.
Yep, that's a really good one. I mean, Mike Tyson It's like before my time a little bit. I still can't believe that he's gotten the resurgence that he's gotten. I mean, well, it is. It's the truth.
You dating me like that?
I'm sorry. It's
before my time? He was in the 90s.
Okay, when did it happen?
I think he got thrown in prison like 91.
Okay, Jeremy, that's before my time. I was born in 92.
He went to jail in 92. He was released on parole in 95.
Okay, I was born January 4th, 1992, so I guess it's not technically before my time. I was alive.
I was watching Mike Tyson box before you were born?
Yes.
I hate that.
Sorry.
I don't like that.
I'm sorry. That's just the truth, though.
This kind of makes me uncomfortable.
713-780-3776.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, but when I was thinking about to compare it to Franklin, I was thinking about Doug Peterson a little bit. Won the Super Bowl in 17, fired in 20. So to have that highest of highs and then to be gone and ousted by the Eagles, I think it's similar to Franklin. It's not as similar to, obviously, like, you know, these other ones we're going to be discussing here, but compared to what James Franklin went to, I think it was like the closest comp I could find.
Okay. Yeah. So people were saying like Herman would be a decent comp. He didn't. I mean, he won a New Year's Six game at Texas. He probably didn't win at the level that Franklin did. Franklin was there for a long time too. Franklin was at Penn State for a very long time. Herman was a little short lived at Texas, and then he went to FAU, and I don't know what he's doing anymore. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Rex, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Rex?
Hey, fellas. Great question. For me, it's a no-brainer. This guy went from a great comeback story from cancer to being considered maybe the greatest in his sport, considered a community and civic hero, and then became a total pariah, and that would be Lance Armstrong. Love to hear y'all's thoughts.
I think it's a good one. It was on my list, Rex. I mean, I was in that era where every single person had a Livestrong band. Like, he was like synonymous with a sport that no one cares about anymore again because of him. It's one of the biggest falls we've seen, and he's arrogant, man.
See, that's the thing that I have with him. You're not a big Tour de France guy?
No.
You don't watch the Tour de France anymore?
Nope.
It was only a Lance Armstrong thing?
Didn't even watch it then.
See, I could forgive Lance for using. I think it's like the fall, though, and like being a jerk about it is where I have a problem with Lance. Because, look, Lance was trying to level the playing field against cyclists that he knew he was better than, that he wasn't putting the times up with because they were using and he was not. So, like, I can kind of give him a pass for that. I think it's why Barry Bonds started using, is because McGuire and Sosa were getting all the fame and all the numbers and the accolades, and Bonds like, I'm better than those guys. Let me level the playing field. And then when he did, we saw that Barry Bonds was better. But it's all the other stuff. It's all the other stuff that he did. Like, he was throwing people under the bus. You know, he was taking people down with him. It's all the other stuff that I can't give Lance the pass.
Yeah, I mean, even like in the documentary, he just doesn't come off well at all. It's a lot like Sosa.
No,
I mean in the 30 for 30 on Sosa McGuire, Sosa comes off really poorly, I think, in that one. I don't think McGuire's that much better, but those guys who did wrong and then were given like a chance to, you know, come clean a little bit about what they did that was so wrong in their sport and are just so arrogant about it. Like Armstrong was towards the top of my list. Is Belichick on this list?
Some people are putting Belichick in here, yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty big fall.
I think it's fair.
We're talking buyouts.
He went from being the greatest coaching resume. Well, he's saying that's not the case. He's saying that's not true. He's saying that's not the case. But, yeah, I mean, he went from being the greatest coaching resume of all time to now struggling in the ACC with North Carolina, and we all think that his pariah girlfriend is his downfall.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Who else is on your list?
I mean, Tiger and Mike were at the very top. I had Lance too. He beat me to it though. Those are the ones that jump out to me. I mean, OJ Simpson.
Yeah, but see, like
Grace,
OJ wasn't playing.
What you saying, Aaron Hernandez? Yeah, but he still went from being like a lovable guy to
on TV,
like,
and
public
movies.
Enemy number one.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because people are saying on the text line, Pete Rose as well.
A good call.
I kind of separated them a little bit because the playing days were over. I guess, Pete was managing, right, when he got busted.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't think of them immediately. Even like Michael Vick, he came back and played so well. But he's kind of beloved again. I mean, people liked him on TV. People are still a fan. Kyler Murray still wears his jersey. He's a head coach in college football.
While he's posing with his dogs.
What an idiot. So Michael Vick came back. I mean, the way he played for the Eagles, like it was a big fall, but it was short. He was back in the NFL as soon as he could be, being the backup for the Eagles, and then he was a starter his second season there. So his fall was so short, I almost don't include him. And he was better after he got out of prison.
Yeah, see, he didn't sustain it, though. Like, he had the one really good year, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
That was his best year, though, in his career, though. Like, you are right about that. But also, I think a lot of that was Andy Reid. Like, Andy Reid's like, okay, this guy's going to make everybody look good.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just, like, he got hurt, could never sustain it. But I do think we were robbed of prime years of Michael Vick. But you're right, we did see the best year of Michael Vick. A lot of people on the text line say Joe Paterno. That's a good call.
That's a very good call.
Bad one. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Who had the biggest fall from grace in sports history? DJ, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, DJ?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? First-time caller. Been listening to you guys for a couple of weeks now. But I haven't heard anybody say Oscar Pistorius. I mean, he was celebrated because, you know, he was doing the thing. He was doing a lot of things that people couldn't do. You know, he was a paraplegic. You know, he was using those, I don't know what the type of legs he was using, but he had those specialized legs. And he was a hero, you know, when it came to the Olympics for a minute. And then, we know what happened.
That's a very good one because it's a very bad person.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's where it's almost like.
Allegedly.
I'm pretty sure he went to jail for it.
He did. He's out, though.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's out.
Did you watch the documentary on him?
Mm-hmm. I did.
I didn't include him and
Aaron
Hernandez.
He thought she was an intruder.
Yeah, okay. I didn't include him and Aaron Hernandez in my list because of the crimes that they committed. I think they're a little bit different than even, like, Barry Bonds and Pete Rose, obviously, who just, I don't know, cheated the game, and Lance Armstrong. So I did not include them. But I like this one from, even though it's not criminal, I guess it's civil. B. Hannon says Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's a good
and
call.
Ryan. Yeah,
and then he was terrible. He was terrible with Cleveland too. Maybe he still got time though. So he got time to turn it around. 75 says Tonya Harding. Tonya Harding was never likable though, right? She like
no.
Everybody liked Kerrigan more, and that was like part of the reason that she had her whacked with that little whatever thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that movie, Tonya?
I've not seen it yet. I heard Margot Robbie's awesome in it though.
Oh, I forgot that was her.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Not a bad movie. Oso says, does SMU count? Nah, we were thinking more individual than player, but it's a good call. I mean, the death penalty, they kind of got screwed over there. SMU's not a bad one. Urban Meyer, a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Urban would be a solid one.
It's kind of like Josh Hamilton. It's kind of like Belichick right now with Urban Meyer.
Yeah, it really is. Bo Jackson because of injury. Yeah, that's a good call on that one. Delonte West. Ooh, that's kind of an outside-the-box one that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think he got spotted again recently on the streets.
Is he homeless?
Yeah, it's not good.
Ah, man, I thought he got his act taken care of.
I think they found him on the streets again.
Man, why doesn't LeBron's mom just take him in?
Good question. Got to keep up with the facade.
Why doesn't LeBron just get him on his team? Like, he likes nepotism, you know?
Yeah.
Just get Delonte West a contract, two-way, with the an Exhibit 22 with the Lakers. Get it done. Johnny Football. There's a lot of college football busts, though. It's just the way that he went about it. Like, he kind of flamed out. Like, yeah, that's a good call, I think.
I think Johnny's a good one. I mean, you got Joe Thomas talking about after, Manziel's terrible documentary. He was missing meetings as a rookie.
Yeah,
like it was all imposed by himself. I even think honestly the way he's talking now, he did an interview recently where he said bleep Cleveland and all he wants is the worst for them. Like for what? What did they do to you?
Yeah, you're the kind of the one that screwed that up. They didn't screw you.
Yeah, like that's all Johnny. That's not anything to do with the Cleveland Browns.
Saul called in, wants to nominate Deshaun Watson. That's a good call. Somebody said Matt Schaub, fall from grace.
No.
That's an interesting one. I mean, he did fall off pretty quickly, though. Like, he went from being a top 10-ish quarterback, at least statistically, to like, this guy can't be a starter like in a year and a half.
That's true.
It wasn't as bad a flameout as all the other ones we're talking about, but that's more of like a low-key flameout.
I think it's because I don't hold him as high as regards as the other people that we're talking about here, right? Like, he's not in the conversation with even the guy he replaced in Atlanta, Michael Vick. Like, he's not in that category. So that's why I don't think of him in that way. The fall off is, from a skill standpoint, from going from throwing basically no pick sixes to a million of them, is very extreme. Yeah. But I just didn't think of him in terms of like this context.
No, it's more of an outside the box low key one. I mean, he went from throwing 4,000 yards in 2012 to being benched in 2013. It was never ever a QB1 again.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Like that's a pretty good one that not many would think about outside of, you know, Houston, quite frankly.
Was he out of the league?
Key from LA says, did Lynn Bias count? Huh?
Was Schaub out of the league after he left Houston, or did he
No, he was a backup for a lot of years. He didn't retire until after the 2020 season.
Okay.
So like, he hung on for a long time as a backup. He was a backup in Oakland, Baltimore, and then Atlanta for like his last 4 or 5 years.
Gotcha. Okay.
So he did a pretty good job of like accepting the role. I'm going to hold the clipboard and you're going to pay me tons of money while I do it. But never was a QB1 again. Like, he went from throwing 4,000 yards to bench the next year and never a QB1 again. That's a pretty big fall. Lynn Bias, yeah, that was unfortunate. I wouldn't count Lynn Bias.
No, I wouldn't count Lynn Bias. Yeah.
I don't think it's a fair one to count.
I like Anthony Rendon here from the text line, though. Anthony Rendon's a good one.
Well, that's a good call. He went from, like, winning the World Series against his hometown team to getting paid and then, like, hey, I'm semi-retired. I don't really feel like playing anymore.
Yeah, I hate baseball.
Yeah. He's too smart to like baseball, though, to be fair. He went to Rice. He's too smart to like baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Lidge. See, Lidge bounced back, though. Like, Lidge gave up the home run to Pujols and then went to Philly and became the best closer in baseball again.
Yeah, I mean, he's, like, one of the most disliked people here, but his career was fine. Lynch doesn't belong in this conversation. Those guys who bounce back in their career, that's where it's like, it's not really a fall. It's bad moments, because that's, again, back to Michael Vick. He fell, but he still came back and performed well in the NFL and played for multiple years as a starter, first with Philly, then with the Jets, then with the Steelers. Like, he still had a solid career. I mean, we lost a lot from him of what we could have seen, mm-hmm. but it definitely belongs up there.
The junkie says that the Tiger wreck caused a lot of issues. That was the wreck that he got into, though, because he probably fell asleep. He didn't get into a – like, the one that Ellen caused, he didn't get into injuries with that. That was just kind of the drama, like, oh, there's an iron through the windshield. Matt Ryan had a steep decline. Conor McGregor. McGregor's – man, I don't like McGregor.
Yeah.
That was a pretty steep one, though.
Yeah, and he's not – he doesn't do himself any favors now. He says he's going to come back, do the White House fights. And then he got suspended for 18 months. So I think that even takes him out of the...
He failed a drug test.
Yeah. So that takes him out of the White House fights, I think, even. But it's...
Yeah.
He also doesn't look like he could fight at all. He looks fat.
Eric the Buyer, OJ the Predator, Lance Armstrong, Tiger Woods, though he did rebuild his image somewhat, Oscar Pistorius, Ronda Rousey. Rousey did. Rousey got knocked out twice, and then she was, like, done. Mm-hmm. She went from, the baddest woman on the planet, knocked out twice, see ya. Mike Trout. Trout's still good, though. Like, Mike, I wouldn't go with Mike Trout.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
Marion Jones.
Yeah. Not Mike Trout at all.
Trevor Bauer. Bauer's a good call. Trevor Bauer's a real good call. 4447, I think, is one of the biggest crash outs in sports history.
Mm.
Ryan Leaf, Jamarcus Russell, honorable mention. That's a good call. Osweiler, pretty big flame out. Yeah.
See, even like Leaf and Jamarcus, they're just busts. I don't know if they had a fall off. You know,
that's a good point.
They just weren't good. They were just draft busts, because like, they're not even like Johnny. Even though Jamarcus Russell obviously has a story about the tape that wasn't, you know, there was nothing on it, just like Johnny Manziel. But he played like 8 games in the NFL before he was out of the league. Ryan Leaf more because of why he was really out, but he also was awful basically from the moment he became the Chargers quarterback.
Yeah. Ian Rappaport saying that Matt Nagy and Arthur Smith among names to watch for the Titans head coaching position.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Who would you take between those two?
Matt Nagy.
Yeah, I'd rather have him than Arthur Smith. Mr. FedEx.
I mean, Arthur Smith, I don't know. I'm not a big fan. I really like it in Atlanta. I think they're winning in spite of him in Pittsburgh. So at least Matt took his team to his to the playoffs.
Arthur Smith is big in Tennessee, though, because that's where FedEx is at. FedEx, Memphis, Nashville, not that far away. I wonder if that comes into play at all. Hey, FedEx, we're going to be your corporate sponsor. We're going to sponsor your new stadium. I wonder. All right, let's get to we're not going to do car wreck of the days anymore. We're going to scrap that. Instead, we're going to do junkies of the day. What is your junkie of the day? Who was your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew. We're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe, ESPN National coming up at the top of the hour. Junkie of the day. We're scrapping car wreck of the day. Junkie of the day now. It makes sense because you're a bunch of junkies. Who is the junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. Get to that in a moment. Joe, what are you going to watch tonight?
The Bears
What's your
game?
Plan? What's your TV watching plan?
The Bears.
Yeah. I think the Bills-Falcons are going to have my attention. And then I'll turn it over to Bears-Commanders if that one gets ugly or it's over. Then it'll get my attention. Mariners-Blue Jays playing right now. Mariners are up 6-3.
Yeah.
Top of the sixth. Jorge Polanco hit a three-run homer. Wish Dana Brown would have gotten that done, huh?
Would have been nice. This series is going to be over quick, huh?
Yeah, I think Seattle's going to win it.
Mariners are going to reset the rotation tomorrow or whenever the next game is. Like, all the bullpen arms that they've been relying on, they're going to reset this thing. This thing's going to be over real quick. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think so, too. They're on a heater right now. All right, junkie of the day. Who's your junkie of the day, Joe?
You want to define this for the audience, what we're looking for first?
Yeah, whoever's a junkie. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. Like, the people who listen to us are junkies. Maybe it's a caller. Maybe it's a text. Maybe it's a literal junkie. I mean, whoever you think is junk-worthy, junkie-worthy.
This person's going to be someone that's literally...
I think I described it well, right?
Yeah. This person's going to be literally junkie-worthy. They're not a listener to the show. I don't think. They could be listening from College Station. But the man or woman who had a .337 BAC... I'm going to go junkie of the day for that one.
You just stole mine. You're the junkie of the day.
What?
It's literally right in front of your face. Literally right in front of your face.
Is it really?
Junkie of the day, final segment of the day. Jeremy, top junkie for Jeremy, the 12th man.
I didn't
click on the
12th man. I didn't click
man.
On it.
Public
I didn't click
intoxication,
on the link.
Aggie Park, contacted subject eating a sandwich with a water jug of whiskey. Blood alcohol content was 0.337, released to EMS. Literally the top bullet point underneath my name for junkie of the day. You're trying to say that you didn't see it, which I believe that you didn't see it, but that speaks more on you than if you had just stole it anyway.
I just didn't scroll all the way down. Sorry. My bad.
That's why we put these things in here, so we can avoid stealing them from another. So I nominate you for the junkie of the day for stealing my own. You know what? You should be fined like Kirby Smart. You suggested that Kirby Smart should be fined for lying to the referees and then to everybody else after the game for saying he didn't call a timeout, that he was just signaling that the defense was clapping. You suggested he should be fined for that. I suggest you should be fined for this.
All right,
you're the junkie.
I'll pay my fine on Thursday.
Mark Sanchez, he gets a Junkie of the Day nominee, too.
Yeah.
His former teammate, I forget which former teammate it was, said that he wasn't surprised by any of this stuff. I do want to see how this all plays out.
Like, you mean
I
his ex-girlfriend?
Don't steal another one, Joe. I want to see how this all plays out in the court of law. Like, maybe he was drugged. Who knows? Maybe it was a drug deal gone bad. Who knows? Like, I want to see it play out in the courtroom. I want to watch True TV for this. But, yeah, now his 8-year-old baby mama says that she's also not surprised by what is alleged.
I mean, the video of him just like wandering around Indianapolis is...
and then back. He like retraces his steps.
It's strange.
I didn't realize this initially, but that was the hotel that I stayed at in Indy when that stalker was telling me there was bunny rabbits outside.
You know that was a listener, right?
Yeah, but that was the hotel that was at. I was in that hotel too. Like, maybe it could have been me running into that grease dude. Alex says the junkie of the day is BMAC for celebrating the Texas win and not coming to work today.
Great
so
call.
What wins? I nominate Joe as the junkie of the day.
I nominate this A&M person.
AJ, you make the call.
I'll say A&M person.
It's because he's
Timestamp approved.
The 12th man is the junkie of the day. Congratulations, 12th man. Gig'em, junkie of the day. Does it for us. Thanks to AJ for doing the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night, Houston.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.